This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Therapy sucks, or so you thought. I know it can be a little bit awkward having to make the appointment, having to go visit someone, sit down, take time out of your day. And as busy as we all are, I can understand it seems like impossible to do so. Fortunately for us at The Coffee Breakup, we're sponsored by BetterHelp. And with BetterHelp, you literally have access to a therapist at your fingertips. Coolest thing about them, literally, you sign up, create a profile, they'll match you with a therapist that's pretty much going to be with exactly what you're looking for. So how important is it with mental health? I mean, we got stressed throughout the day. Whether it's work, life, your partner, whatever it may be. BetterHelp, you're able to have access to actually talk to someone about your problems that can really guide you in the right direction. I don't know about you, that's pretty important if you want to actually have like a normal life or anything, just saying. Coolest thing about us, you know, it is 10% off for all the Coffee Breakup listeners for your first month. So sign up now at betterhelp.com/thecoffeebreakup. Again, that's 10% off for your first entire month. Literally no excuse. Check out for your mental health today. Later.
I've seen you with your kids. I've seen you train them.
Yeah, even like, at the gym. Like you'll see me. You'll see me throwing the football with my son. Like, and I'm tough on him.
You tough
like,
on him.
He drops the ball. But, he's like, yo, what the f***?
Yeah. He just told me he wants to be in the NBA. One, he ain't black. So now his percentages have gone down. Because let's be real. Majority are black kids. And that's the sport that they play. And they're out in the hood playing all day, every day, getting better. But hopefully you guys are on the right path where you are with the woman that you want to be and hopefully have kids with them as well. So you guys are set up for what seems like success, which is really good, you know?
Right.
For others, you know, it might be a little bit more difficult because they got other factors to play, you know, somebody like my-
No, we had talked back on. Yeah, so now we're jumping. Well, what do OnlyFans and nutrition have in common, you may be asking? So, yeah, no, you had brought up the whole thing about nutrition, which we had just completed a three-day fast.
Yes.
You have done a three-day fast as well.
I have. Late last year.
How did you guys feel doing it?
It was tough. This is the second time I've done it. It's definitely, this time it's been a little bit easier because I kept myself a little bit busier. But it's so important to get adequate sleep when you're fasting, because it was one of the days where I had to wake up super early. I only got like 5 hours of sleep, and that's the day I was dragging. It's like day two going into day three. That was the day I was dragging the most because I didn't get sleep. My body's like completely deprived of any type of food and any type of calories, so I was hurting. But then the last day, actually, I got 8 hours of sleep. I slept like a rock. I woke up, I felt pretty good, and then I had a solidish workout, you know, and then I finished at 74 hours. But I've had my enough texted. I have my like spikes of hunger where I was like, damn, I'm really hungry.
Yeah.
And I work at a restaurant, so I would see the food come out. I'm like, this is tough. This is really tough. But, you know, I feel good now. Broke my fast yesterday. I feel good. It's a great way to start a year.
So, yeah, for me, the biggest benefit of all, aside from all the neurological aspects of it, is the sense of accomplishment you get at the end of it all.
It's like a reward. Yeah.
I know when I was done with it, I was like pumped up.
Yeah.
And I was excited to share it with everybody too and tell people like, yo, I just did this and I feel so good. And I know it'll benefit you as well because of what it's done for me in the past. And I think you should try it. So for me, the biggest benefit out of it all was the sense of accomplishment when I got done with it. Because I've always, for the past, 12 years, I've always done intermittent fasting in terms of like, you know, 16-minute break from eating and then 8-hour window to
16-hour break. 16
yeah.
Hour.
Yeah, 16. That's what I said, right?
16, yeah, 16 minutes. Minute,
but yeah, 16 hours.
Oh, I said minutes.
Yeah. 16
bad.
Minutes.
16, 16 hours with the that 8 hour window. Sure. Right, eating right, and stuff yeah, like yeah, that. Yeah, so I've been doing it for years already. And it's a part of my like lifestyle now. I had done 24 hours a few times. So then I was going to do 48. And on that second day, reaching 48, I felt so good. I'm like, well, let me extend it. So I extended it to 3 days. And man, it felt really good. It felt really good to be doing something like that, you know?
You think long-term fasting is will have a place in your lifestyle for the foreseeable future?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll probably be doing this twice a year,
okay,
where it's the three-day fast.
Yeah.
I'll probably do 4 to 6 times where I'll do 24, and I'm going to continue being consistent with my 16 to 8. It's what I tell everybody, right? Don't look at it as like some kind of term that they coined in order to make it fancy in terms of intermittent fasting. You're just giving your body a break from eating
yeah.
because we overindulge and we overdo it so much for no reason, for no reason. My mentality, like I've always said, is like, okay, what did people do in the prehistoric times in order to survive and stuff like that? And that's how I kind of view eating during modern day. Like you just eat when you're able to find a little bit of food and you know, you get the energy out of the nutritional food that you get, whether it's steak, eggs, avocado, whatever the case may be. And, you know, and that's how you go about life.
Yeah. Just one more feedback when now that you chime in, and I'm sure you're going to piggyback off of it. When I was like hitting like 24, 48 hours, bro, I felt so good in the point in terms of like just alert in terms of like, yo, if I was like the survivor instinct, like I could be fighting a fucking bear right now.
Yeah.
Like if I was in the middle of nowhere, like I would be able to like survive. I just felt really good.
Yeah. And day it's two,
like
you said?
Day two. Yeah. Like 24, 48 hours. Right. Like I felt good. And it's just kind of highlights the fact that when we always eating, you get tired. You're sluggish and slow and fatigue. And when you don't have anything in your system, you can think clear, you know? And so that's one of the
eating too much or eating the wrong food.
Yeah. That's
will affect you in a negative way.
Yeah.
And it's going to affect everything that you do in your daily routine and in your life.
Mm.
The mood that you're in at work, the relationships that you have. If a situation happens where you obviously can dictate whether you want to take a positive route out of it or a negative route, you're most likely going to take a negative route out of it, get angry, be aggressive, answer in a way that you probably shouldn't be answering, and maybe attack the person in a way that you shouldn't. Whereas, you know, I've always been known to be a, let's say, just a passionate person. So I think it's allowed me to step back a little bit more and dictate certain situations and not jump the gun in maybe speaking incorrectly to somebody and communicating the right way, simply because what I've been putting in my body, all right, is allowing me to react in a more positive way towards any situation that occurs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when I think of my fast, I didn't feel good at all on day two. I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about. You were there doing muscle ups and shit at the end of it. I don't know how. For me, day three is when I felt my best. Okay. I felt a little bit sharp. I felt like I didn't need food anymore.
Okay.
In fact, I woke up today like, I want to do maybe a few more hours. You know, I could probably push it more. But I was like, no, let me break it. Let me just get started, because I also want to do the animal-based diet, which that I think is where you were talking about, where when you start feeding your body literally healthy foods that it wants to process in the correct way that your body would allow to process it, overall, your mood changes, right? Like you just feel better, more energized. You're not sluggish anymore. You don't have that brain fog. You just overall feel better. So then that's kind of the mission that I'm on for this year of the six diets in 2024, just to see how they all kind of affect me, how my brain, my body, and see which one's the best one.
And I think that's where your growth in life comes into play as well. Because I think in the last year or two, you mentioned you've grown more.
Super, yeah.
And I think you changed your nutrition in the last year or two.
Super, during
that process. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably the biggest factor that's played a role in your life.
For me, what I thought was the biggest takeaway of not only the fast, but doing a diet as consistent as that's so restrictive, is what you were saying, the sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
after doing it for 3 days of man, like, I'm there cooking food for my girlfriend. I'm there, like, preparing it, putting it away, you know, like, cleaning, doing all that stuff. I never leave the kitchen. And for me, like, I'll get there, you know, I always eat or get a little snack. But doing the fast, it's like, I have all this temptation. I have all these cravings. I'm literally have my hands in food preparing it. And it's just all up here, right? So at the end of the 3 days, I'm like, what the fuck can I do, bro? Right? Like, you have all these cravings and all these, like, little temptations, things that want to, like, spook you or, like, you know, kind of like, hey, by the way, you feel anything? And it's like, dude, I'm stronger than that. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to succumb to that. And I think at the end of the 3 day, and also when I did the animal base last year, at the end of those 30 days, like, it was just crazy because I had people eating cake. Like, I worked at the bank where people were bringing batelito, coffee, and all that, the yummy shit. I'm just like, I can't have it. And just knowing that I'm in control and not letting food control me, that was the biggest eye-opener for me. Because if I can do that and I can literally control those cravings that are just subconscious, like, they just happen. And you can literally say, fuck you, I know what I'm doing. That for me was a real growth out of it.
And in no way are any of us professionals when it comes to this, sure. Like, in terms of, like, studying it, you know, going to school for it and all that kind of stuff. But I think we bring a lot of value within our experience during all this. And our experiences have been extremely similar. So that, you know, that plays an important factor when sharing all of this to other people and letting them know, like, yo, this works, man. You should try it out.
100%.
And look how it's improved my life.
Yeah.
And I would love for you to improve yours, mm-hmm. you know? Same thing with alcohol. I cut that out like 5 or 6 years ago, and that's been a huge, huge, like, factor in improvement in self improvement for myself as well.
You don't drink at all, or you like cut back every now and then at some
at all.
You haven't taken a sip in the last 5, 6 years.
Okay, I had
we went on the
I had a glass of red wine, like what, like a week or two ago, and I hadn't and I hadn't had anything before that. In maybe months.
But like drinking, saying, you don't.
No.
Like, you'll have maybe like a glass of wine or maybe something that'll be nice, no. But nothing like, where.
Like the last time I had a glass of wine before, a week ago, might have been like when we had it here. Oh, like
H-Guy.
That, yeah. That long ago.
Yeah.
And then I've been hydrated at like a Universal Studios or something like that where I'm super hot. Give me a cold beer just to take it down and right, feel. Right, but. Right. Even socially, going out or hanging out at somebody's house or watching a football game or something, nothing. It doesn't even like entice me at
very
all.
Very impressive.
You know, because you're now a bartender, so you're kind of around it all the time.
I do,
drinks. All
I
the
do
time.
Drinks, and then I gotta taste them technically. I'm supposed to.
You gotta have your girlfriend taste them.
Fuck that. No, when I'm at the when I'm working, and it's like I gotta make sure the drinks are good. So maybe I'll do like a little sip. But actually, we both are doing dry January, right? Like you're not drinking this month either. I love. I don't know. I'm not there yet. I love drinking, but obviously this month I want to like.
I'm probably blessed in a way where I don't know if it's my taste buds or whatever, but like I'll take a sip of like whiskey, scotch, or and that shit is fucking nasty to me, like disgusting.
Yeah.
Vodka, disgusting. Vodka, I don't know what it is. Like,
for me,
tequila, nasty. Like. I'm disgusted by it, so.
So maybe a beer or wine is where you might.
Yeah, that's like where I'm like.
For me, what is frustrating is like I wake up the next day and I feel like shit, and it's like now my whole day is ruined.
Especially now that we're older, where
it hits you harder.
I think a couple of weeks ago I went to, I don't know if it was a wedding that I didn't even drink that much, bro. Like I was chilling. I think I was just having tequila with lime. I had like 2 cups only. Bro, and the next day, like, I was never drunk. I wasn't feeling like shit. The next day, I just felt like shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, all this for nothing. Yeah, At least I should have gotten fucked up if I'm going to feel like shit.
But
no?
Not only feeling shit body-wise, I'm sure, but I'm sure mentally you were like...
Foggy and...
Not only foggy, were you like...
Disappointed. Which is what you're saying. That's you're like, what I was just going to say. Like, I feel like shit the next day. Why would I even do this?
Now you're putting all this work, right, in, and you're accomplishing all these things that maybe you didn't think you could accomplish before. That now you take that little sip of a drink or whatever and you feel like you're disappointing yourself. Like, fuck. And is there really a reason or a purpose behind me even doing this and taking it?
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's the biggest thing when you're along this journey of finally, like, eating well and being nutritional with a positive lifestyle. Healthy. It's just more of a disappointing factor out of it all.
Is that what you feel when you drink a little bit?
No, I don't feel disappointed.
Really?
I just feel like the next day I don't really feel good. Well, I drink less and I feel like I wasn't really that drunk. And then the next day I'm like, fuck. Yeah. Like, I feel like shit. Like the way my body's processing alcohol. And it's not the same like it used to be.
Yeah, let me tell you also, I'm also at a certain age where I like to not impress, but like kind of show off that I'm a specific age now, but I could still hang with the younger people and stuff like that. So that's one of my, that's one of my motivational factors behind it as well. That because I'm a certain age, I got to keep up with everybody now. So I can't like fall off. Yeah, I can't deviate from the plan. I can't fall off from what I've been into because I got to stick to this. Like I'm proving something right now. Yeah. I'm proving something to you guys. I'm proving something to myself. And that's what keeps me motivated the entire time.
Man, I'll be honest. Whenever I tell people about the gym and then I I show them who like one of the owners is, and I'm like, oh, Andre, I show them, they're like, damn. You know?
Yeah.
How old is it that you are?
I turned 40 this year in May.
Holy shit, dude.
You look phenomenal. And like, bro, we always talk about this, but I am so excited and I'm so proud to say that. You know, I like to say it, and with the shape that I'm in and being able to hang with you guys and still being able to hang with my kids. Like, so I got, for Christmas, I bought my son, you know, one of those hoops that you put on the door inside the room or whatever, but now he has two of them.
Okay.
So now he has one on the door and one on the closet. So we're, like, constantly, like, battling it out. You guys know a game called Knockout? You know, the first guy shoots the second guy comes from behind and tries to... So we've made up this game where, you know, we go to the first basket, one, we go to the second one. Bro, we spent yesterday like 45 minutes straight in his room just duking it out back and forth between me and him. And, bro, I don't really think there's much 40-year-olds that can keep up doing that with their kid, you know? And I want to make sure that I'm an example to my younger friends and stuff like that that are, you know, just had kids and stuff like that where they're going to want to be doing the same exact thing because... Bro, I was in my son's room yesterday for 45 minutes, and we were drenched in sweat by the end of it. We were battling shooting hoops, and it was the funniest thing in the world. And it was cool for him to treat me. Obviously, you know, I'm his dad, but like if I'm one of his boys, also
like just an equal,
So that's one of the main reasons why I do what I do as well. So obviously, there's a list of factors that keep me motivated as to why I'm doing what I'm doing and trying to keep up with everybody. And, but yeah, there's so much value that comes from doing what we've been doing and focusing on eating the right way and staying healthy and exercising that, you know, certain things pop up like yesterday playing with my son. And then by the end of it, it just brings a smile to my face. Like, you know, I'm probably very few that can do this kind of stuff.
And your son's face too, because I can also imagine like children who have maybe sedentary parents or maybe that, you know, they have like that 9-to-5 shit that they're overweight, they're not really taking care of themselves. It's like when they get home and they want to then interact or kind of engage with
their parents, there's no interaction going on, you know.
So at that point they have to then stick with their parent with their friends or kind of like look for other colleagues. So dude, you're kind of like an example for I think many of what it should be.
And and to just go a little bit further with that also, so my daughter sees us doing that and then she jumps into the middle of it as well and joins us for like another 20 minutes, you know, being involved. So it's nice, man. It's fun. They see what you're doing. They appreciate it. I would like to think they appreciate it, because you could see it in their face and the way they speak to you and their expressions and how they excited they get. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why I don't give a fuck about drinking either. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need to. And there's, you know, other, so.
It's pretty cool, man. Like, this is the look of a proud father, you know?
And yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
You really, like, you don't find that too often. Yeah. But it also takes into you being so restrictive, but also
and not control. To say that all the other dads aren't proud of being a father either and stuff like that. But it's a nice sense of accomplishment, you know, being able to do
these things.
Of course. You know, you get a sense of accomplishment going 3 days without eating. It pumps you up, which then translates to doing other things like the example I'm just giving you right now. So it's all
connected
in a way. You
know? Well, that's so we always say that we started doing the podcast based on relationships. Then we noticed about mental health. But then what's the most important thing about, you know, making sure that your head's clear? It's a lot of it comes down to what you do with your body. Movement is medicine, right? But a big factor is also the nutrition of what you put in your body because, dude, that just affects so much. And that's what I learned when I did the animal-based diet. When I was finished eating all that and I just felt full of energy and clean and healthy, like I can do anything. And it's like, man, if I'm able to thrive doing this and I just feel great, like there's, it's just so important what you put into your body and how important that is to like how you feel. So that's why, man, nutrition is one of the biggest factors, because if you truly want to like be happy, not only just with yourself, but with the people around you and who you attract yourself with, it comes down to how you take care of yourself. And yeah. The biggest part is going to be nutrition.
Yeah, sure. That's number one for me. Like throughout this entire evolution of me, you know, being within the industry of fitness and exercising and sports and stuff like that, it's finally clicked in the last year or two. It's finally clicked that the number one thing is whatever food you're putting into your mouth,
yeah,
and you're ingesting into your body.
I think the core, essentially the three core parts of any healthy individual is your nutrition, your sleep, and then your movement, your exercise, what you do, staying moving. I sent you this. And I sent both of you guys, like after this guy was talking about, I go after the age of 30, like most men or most humans, they stop running. They stop. When was the last time you sprinted?
And jumping.
Because like if you ask anybody off the street, hey, can you jump up this box? And if they're over the age of 30, they probably won't be able to.
And I'm sure if you do that and you ask them, hey, when was the last time you jumped?
Yeah.
They'll probably be like, wow, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
Because it's something like that you kind of take for granted and you know, and it's like, wow, when was the last time I jumped, you know?
Or even go for a full-blown sprint, like in school, like we used to do this, but like running, like fast running.
Yeah.
When was the last time you did this? And then some people are like, yo, I haven't done this since I left school or since I've been at the playground or whatever. But it's like, you have to keep moving in life, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, if it's going for a walk, if it's going for a sprint, if it's going for a jog, whatever. And this is why I'm so appreciative of Zoom, because it incorporates everything. And you're doing a very fine job and designing these workouts that incorporate, like, all kinds of movements, you know?
Let me ask you. So you had mentioned, like, how nutrition is so important and then how it, like, it kind of affects, like, everything around you. Do you feel like because of what you're eating and how you feel is why you're so active and able to be so, I don't want to say connected, but so involved with your children?
Yeah, because it's what fuels me. You know, it's what gives me the energy that I need in order to be able to keep up with everybody else. And not only that, I think it also gives you a sense of confidence in terms of like, all right, if you're eating like shit, you're probably going to start looking like shit, you know, gut, face, et cetera.
Skin.
So you still want to look like you belong to like a younger generation as well, so that you relate to as much of the age spectrum as possible. I can relate with older people. You know, I'm getting there and stuff like that. But I can still also relate to everybody in their 20s and 30s, you know? And that plays a big factor as well. I don't want to be my age looking 15, 20 years older than what I really am, because that kind of like, you know, shuns people away from you at first appearance and attraction when you're trying to make a connection with somebody.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, appearance plays a big part, unfortunately.
But also. It's the first thing that
first impression.
It's the first impression with somebody.
Yeah.
So an appearance is going to be the biggest factor. And then, yeah, cool. You can get to know each other. And yeah, he's got like an old soul, young soul. Whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. But you need that first impression needs to be like, damn, this person takes care of themselves.
Oh, I'll even give you another. You wanted to say something.
No, do me a favor, put the mic a little bit closer to
you. Really?
Sorry about that.
He's speaking like above it.
Okay.
So. But he's still here. I'm good, though. Well, no. There was this one guy, I forgot who it was, that he was talking about how when he sees someone who's in shape, he takes them more seriously.
Absolutely.
Because it shows them like, okay, you're disciplined in your daily routine. That means that you have a nutrition kind of put in place. You know what it is to be patient and wait for results. So overall, like, think about it. If you were to want to hire somebody, right, that you like for a job or just really try to trust somebody, it would probably be someone who knows what it is to endure and take care of themselves and really like put themselves first to understand, okay, well, I know that, you know, the piece of cake and all this bullshit, whatever, it's good, I can succumb to that. But someone who's been taking care of their body for such a long time, they just have a different mindset. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that they take shit more seriously, that they care about shit. You're looking at me in a way.
No. I'm listening.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be the first one to admit, when I see somebody right out the gate, I'm either taking them serious or not because of the way they look.
Really?
Of course. You don't do the same?
Now
think about it.
Now I do, because I know what it is. I'm on that side now.
Right.
Okay.
And fine. Don't judge book by its cover or whatever.
Yeah.
Cool, great. I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna look at you, I'm gonna see how you are. If you look good, I'm gonna take you serious. If you don't look good, I'm sorry, bro. You gotta win me over some way, somehow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no. I mean, right. I guess to a certain degree it makes sense, you know, because it's also like if you look clean, you look well taken care of, well groomed. I mean, it all goes into, but your physique is obviously very important as well. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you don't take yourself serious, why should I take you serious, you know? Kind of true.
And you want to feel like, obviously, you need to be taking care of yourself first. But you want to connect with somebody that you feel can take care of others as well. Right. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought of that, but, you know, I think in life, it's not only about you at the end of the day. Of course, you should put yourself first. You make yourself happy. Everybody around you will be a happier human being as well. Mm-hmm. But you want other people to connect with you because they believe that you can take care of them in some way, somehow.
In
a specific way, you know? So I'm sure when people see me, they're like, damn, this guy takes good care of himself. I'm sure he values, you know, probably caring and taking care of me as well. And I think that plays a factor as well.
You don't think you could be a little intimidating, dog?
Oh, no. I mean, everybody tells me I am.
You don't think you are?
And I like that and I don't like that, okay, obviously, so because I enjoy for people to come up to me and if, you know, they got any issues or they want to speak to me about something or share an experience they have or whatever, I want them to come up to me and just let me know, like, you know, communicate with me and tell me. But I get told that like all the time and I'm like, bro, it's not.
You had mentioned something a little earlier that you're like, oh, I'm I'm passionate or I have a lot of passion. Talk about that, bro. I want you to say what
well,
you
because some people think I'm a little overly aggressive at times.
Not me.
So
just a little bit, maybe.
But listen, if you think of me in that way, say it right now. Who cares?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, no, all right.
I see you in a different way because I already know you enough. We've had conversations. But for those who don't know you, if they just see you at the gym, first of all, you got a resting bitch face on all day long.
Fact.
Okay.
Fact.
A.
And that's the general in me when structuring and organizing the class that I'm operating at the time.
Okay, so you're in
work mode. I'm in work mode when you see me like that.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It's fair.
Let's just say 90% of the time.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure.
Simply because I'm very like, okay, this is how I want this shit to be. Which is funny because people tell me that all the time, but then at the end of the day, they tell me, They wouldn't want me any other way because they enjoy that experience with me because I don't think they've ever experienced something like that elsewhere.
Yeah.
So they're like, damn, this is something different. This is something new. I like the way it is, even though he might be a hard ass and he might be, you know, but he's very on point with his shit. And the experience that I just had because he's on point with everything that's going on is a good one and it's legit.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like on Saturdays, you know, with the women of my booty class and stuff like that, I'll tend to be a little bit more. But again, sometimes they come up to me and they're like, yo, I don't like you when you're like a little bit happy like this. Like, get on our ass and tell us to move and tell us to work. Yeah, bro. So
can't please everyone, you know. You're too soft. You're too hard.
So,
you know.
So at the end of the day, just be you, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And it is what it is. They'll enjoy it if they do, and if they don't, then, you know, they'll just go elsewhere, or they just, you know, whatever. But I do get, like, you're intimidating, and I'm like, I don't mean to be, but I guess, you know.
I think you're definitely respected. That's for sure. Like, when they see you, because, dude, at the same time, it's also the physicality, which is literally everything we're talking about is kind of falling into place. Because when they see you, dude, like, it's not that you're older, because you don't even look old, but it's like, you're obviously an adult. You're fucking lean. You're doing the exercise and doing them better than a fucking almost everybody else there. And it's almost like, man, you see someone like that and then.
And then they also tell me when. And then they tell me also. And then after all that, then I speak and I have a deeper voice. Yeah, so they're like, damn, bro, that's like the cherry on top. What I was. And it's like, you know, whatever. But I would say, what's cool about my job is the experience that I have with people on a more personal level, that when they actually sit down with me and they talk to me, and at the end of it, they're like, wow, I didn't think you were like this, because now they're starting to get to know the real me and how I really am with things in life and my perspective and things like that. So I kind of enjoy, in a sense, that I have that intimidating factor, because now when they sit with me and they really get to know me as a person, their mindset completely changes about how they first viewed me and that first impression. So it's cool to feel that way, that, you know, they were maybe like kind of wrong, but at the same time, yeah, that intimidation factor was right. But now they know me at a personal level where they can now trust me and come up to me whenever they feel the need to. Be able to speak to me, you know?
I want to transition into something different, but it has something to do with your tough demeanor.
I kind of slowly wanted to be a sure.
Can
I? I was about to,
Depends on what it is, right?
What are you going
to
do?
So I wanted to talk, because he was saying you have tough demeanor, you can be intimidating. And I've seen you coach, but I've also seen you with your kids.
Yeah.
And I want to transition to do in your parenting, if that's okay. Because you can be tough, but also with your kids. How do you handle, like, being a father? Like, because you can be intimidating.
So it's funny because I had this discussion with my parents the other day. And my mom is always on top of me because I'm always tough on the kids.
Right. That's why I'm trying to get.
Right. And I'm not as extreme, obviously, as you would see me in the gym and stuff like that, but I'm tough on them, you know? I want to let them know when they're doing something wrong and when they need to be cleaning up after themselves. And just this week, I was teaching them how to do laundry and stuff like that, you know?
I've seen you with your kids. I've seen you train them.
Yeah, even at the gym. Like you'll see me throwing the football with my son. And I'm tough on him.
You're tough on him.
He drops the ball and he's like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah. But this is what I always tell everybody and what I was sharing with my parents and especially my mom the other day. I was like, but at the end of the day, when I put them to sleep, I always tell them that I love them.
Okay.
I always tell them that I'm proud of them.
Okay.
And we have a little discussion on how the day went and stuff like that and how we can improve. You know what I'm saying? So that at least when they close their eyes and they go to bed at night, that's the last thing that's, you know, going through their head, instead of like, damn, my dad was maybe like a dick today or something that, you know?
So I have two questions. And so, because you have a boy and a daughter.
Yeah.
Do you treat them differently? Because the daughter's cute, she's precious.
I don't actually.
I'm
tough with my daughter too.
That has to be hard though, not
because because you want your daughter to be tough later on in life as well.
Okay.
So that's how I see it.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't want anybody pushing around my daughter. Sure. I don't want anybody bullying my daughter. Obviously my son either, of course.
But
since she's female, you know, I think it'll be a little bit tougher with her growing up, and I'm the same exact way with her.
Okay.
I might even be a little bit tougher on her more than my son at times as well.
Really?
Yeah. And my parents will call me out on it, and their mom will call me out on it and stuff like that too. But I don't care. Like, fuck. I think I'm doing an all right job as a father. And I think, you know, I've helped raise them pretty well with, you know, instilling certain values in their life and stuff like that. So, yeah, like, you know, my son wants to... I asked my son the other day, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he says, NBA player. You know what I'm saying? So I had a hard talk with him, and I'm like, I'm going to ask you one more time. You want to be an NBA player? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, you can't be playing video games the amount of time that you do every single day. And we need to be outside practicing all day, every single day. And I'm going to be hard on you, and you're never going to quit. Like, I literally told him, I'm going to be extremely hard on you because that's the only way you're going to make it to the NBA. You told me you want to make it to the NBA, right? Well, here's the blueprint on how to do it, because I tried making it in baseball, all right? So I know the amount of work it takes, and I maybe didn't put as much work as I should have. So here you go. You're either going to continue playing basketball, or you're going to quit with how hard I'm going to be on you now.
No, not
that's,
only...
That's, like, he just told me he wants to be in the NBA. One, he ain't black, so now his his percentages have gone down, because let's be real, majority are black kids.
Yeah.
And... that's the sport that they fucking play, and they're out in the hood playing all day, every day, getting better.
Yeah.
Not just that, man. They also have the genes for it too.
Right. But all these kids are growing up easy, not having being able to like choose a million other different things that they want to.
So they have to succeed, kind of like.
So the only way you're gonna succeed and make it to the NBA, I'm talking to my son right now, is if you're out on the playground 3 hours every single day. If not, you're not making it.
Yeah.
You told me you want to be an NBA player. All right, let's go to work.
Yeah.
You know?
So, okay, great. I appreciate that. The second question that I had, it was, how do you find, like, the balance between, like, being disciplining them, instilling values and stuff like that into them, but also like being a little bit like flexible, like in terms of like maybe what they want to eat, or like do you have a certain principle that you like follow, so, or do you like sometimes like,
so for example, when it comes to eating, right, me and their mom have been super super on point,
okay,
with them eating healthy. That to them, that's the norm right now. Okay. Anyways,
yeah.
Like there's no, don't get me wrong, they eat McDonald's once in a blue moon, especially with my parents or
their mom. They slip them the chicken nuggets on the french fries.
Don't say anything.
Because you know how grandparents are. Cool, I'm going to let the grandparents be, because now they've taken up a different role. They used to be strict on me. Now they're older. They want to enjoy their grandkids. Fine, whatever. Okay, it's good. But for them, it's like, Dad, when are we going to, can we have steak and rice tonight? Dad, can we have... can you make me a parfait and stuff like that? Bro, you don't get really many kids that probably say that to their parents, why don't you eat? So for them, that's the norm right now, you know? So okay. So that's easy, yeah. Right? It's instilling them this kind of value at an early age, so it's just normal for them, you know?
Yeah.
What we grew up in certain ways of eating Taco Bell and McDonald's, because I think that was the norm for us.
Yeah, and our parents.
But so it's so it's
Germany is different.
So it's like, yeah, if you grew up here, like that was fast food all day every day, and that's normal. But
my parents every weekend we would go to Walmart, not every week, but like maybe every other weekend, like to go and get some stuff, and there was a Burger King right on the entrance and the exit, yeah. Whatever. After we would shop, we would always stop at that Burger King to have breakfast. Okay. It was every other week, some shit like that.
Yeah.
If you allow your kids to be on the iPad a certain amount of hours at such a young age, now that's the norm for them.
Yeah.
So now it's going to be hard to take that away from. So it's everything is at such a what are you starting at their age at 4, 5, 6 years old? So that when they become 9, 10, 11 years old, now it's just normal for them
right.
to not have to deviate from what they've, you know, been.
We've talked about this with Christina. You remember the nutritional and kids and what we would want to give them.
They were
we talked
chicken
about
nuggets
this.
Or if I want to give them french fries, I'm like, why would you want to expose them to that so young? Because then that's all they're going to want to crave when they're like bitching and complaining about food. Yeah. It's like if you only give them access to healthy foods, they won't know anything else to eat.
My biggest pet peeve is, at least in my kids' school, and my daughter, and the teacher was doing this for a while, was every time they did something good, they would give out candy to
like
the kids.
Like a reward.
Yeah, candy to the kids. And I'm like, why the fuck are you doing this?
No way.
Like, you know, so they would come back, like, I would pick them up in the car, and they're chewing gum and stuff like that. And I'm like, bro, we don't even do this at home. Why are the teachers doing this at school?
Chewing gum. You know? Can't chew gum at the crib, dude.
And I understand, you know, like I understand probably being a teacher is tough. So there's certain moments, you know, where they're like, damn, I gotta shut these kids off.
Shut the fuck up.
Or I'm sure with good intentions also making them feel good, rewarding them with something.
True.
But damn, why does it have to be with candy and stuff like that, you know?
What would you rather them give
and
pineapple.
An apple.
Straight up.
A carrot.
Why not chunks of pineapple and watermelon? Yeah, I know, like, oh, this dad is so strict and stuff like that, but that's what they grew up with, so that's normal to them. So it's not that big of a deal. If it's a kid that grew up with eating Sour Patches the whole time and stuff like that, yeah, now you're going to be looked differently when you're trying to switch from the Sour Patches to now those pineapple chunks, because they've been used to that the entire time and they've been programmed a certain way. So it's going to be a lot harder to get them on the right path.
So when I was a kid in Germany, my mom would make school lunch, and it would be like apples and carrots and like healthy stuff. That's all I ate. Like,
but your mom would make it for you?
Yeah, like a little box.
And they didn't have like food at the schools?
It wasn't like they didn't have a cafeteria. It was a very small school, and school was like only like a few hours long. But yeah, so the parents would make it. But it was like vegetables, it was like fruits. It was only water in my house. We never had any like soda. It wasn't a thing. But now it's like, I don't have sodas in my house. I don't drink sodas unless it's like a special thing, whatever. But it goes to highlights to what you were saying. It's like, I grew up that this way. Yeah. For me, it's a normal thing. And then there's people who's like, oh, their kid, 4 year old, has to drink Coke and Pepsi and all kinds of crazy shit and apple juice with
people
40 grams of sugar.
People addicted to Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
What the fuck?
I never had that.
And obviously, we eat pizza. We go out and have a good time. And whenever there's kids' parties, that seems like it's every fucking weekend.
For you,
you know, they have their juices and their. You know, the junk food, the cake and stuff like that. I let them have
the kids,
that,
the
obviously.
Kids. Yeah.
But I try and be Monday through Friday, this is how we're going to be. You know, as strict as possible, which is what I tell adults also. that become members at the gym and who just hit me up for advice and stuff like that. You don't have to go to cold turkey, but you can at least be strict Monday through Friday doing what you need to in order to, you know, keeping your body at a certain level.
Sure.
And then, you know, Saturday and Sundays, you know, have your little cheat meals here and there and eat whatever you want. But I know if you structure yourself Monday through Friday doing the right thing, then eventually Saturday and Sunday, you're going to want to keep doing the same thing.
Because you feel so, you know? Good.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm strict with my kids when it comes to that as well. Yeah,
I wanted to know because obviously we've talked in the previous episodes about kids and your parenting and stuff like that and how you handle, how you deal with it. Because you and your, the mother of your kids, you guys aren't together.
Correct.
For full disclosure of people, they're not aware.
Yeah.
So like, how does that work? How's your parenting lifestyle versus hers? And how do you guys make
so
it work?
That's
it sounds
actually,
like you guys
right, that's
very
actually,
well.
That's actually the positive thing that came out of our relationship.
Okay.
We're on the same page when it comes to being health nuts.
Okay.
So a quick break to talk about our sponsorships. AG1, we just got a partnership with them and it's been amazing. How's it been going for you?
Man, AG1 is awesome. I've been taking it for a little bit over a month now. We both have. And first thing in the morning, it's super quick to take. It's a kind of all-in-one package. It's a powder form. It makes it water nice and cold. Good tasting, and it gives you everything you need. Helps you with energy, helps you with your gut health and immune system. I mean, overall, it's a great product.
Yeah, my favorite thing is I take it in the morning as soon as I wake up. That way, on my way to the gym, I'm already getting the fuel that I need. And one thing that I really like about it is that it doesn't upset my stomach as it would if I'm taking a whole laundry list of vitamins.
Yeah.
So it really starts my day with literally everything that I need to get right. And what I like about it is that as soon as I take it in the morning, it's almost like a mental check for me to say, you know what, I'm doing something for me. Because I know that, I mean, if you think about it, you wake up in the morning, you just go straight to work, you don't really eat anything. So it's like, you don't have anything in your system. At least with this, you know that the first thing that you do every single day is that you're taking care of yourself. It's a full replacement of all these other vitamins and minerals and everything that you could be buying individually that's going to cost you an arm and a leg. So for literally one price, you're literally getting a full array of nutrition in a pack, in a scoop, whatever you want to do. And fortunately for us, we do have the sponsorship that with AG1, it not only are you getting like the whole subscription of it, but we're also including 5 travel packs as well as a year's supply worth of the vitamin D.
For sure.
So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the vitamin D or the drops. So you can just take 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 drops depending how much you want to take. And you just, in the morning too, super quick. And what I love about the fact is there's not a bunch of pills that you have to take, which is what you were saying earlier. It's just like one scoop, a couple of drops, and that's it. Ready to go.
Yeah, and I've also noticed that just throughout the day, I don't know if it's like in my head that I'm taking it or if it's the fact that it's actually working, but I want to believe that it is because I feel amazing when I'm doing it. I feel more efficient. I feel like my stomach is also responding better to things when I eat. My energy levels are also better. And again, it really sets the tone for the rest of the day when I take this. So fortunately for us with this partnership, if you want to take ownership of your health, you know, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. In order to do so, go to drinkag1.com/thecoffeebreakup. Again, that's drinkag1.com/thecoffeebreakup. Check it out.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
That's pretty cool. You know, eating good the entire time, exercising as much as we can. So we're blessed on that
very nice
front when it comes to it. So, you know.
You want
to
ask me some?
No, because I chimed into this topic, but I don't know if you wanted to say something else.
Well, it was in the direction that I wanted to go in.
Okay.
I also wanted to kind of ask you, because you're very structured, it seems like, with a lot of things that you do, and you like to have, I don't say order, but you just like to be in, at least know and have a little bit of control of what your daily activities are going to be, what you do, what you eat, whatever. When it comes to dating, how are you in a relationship when it comes to, like how we just talked about, do you still handle it the same? Are you still kind of?
Yeah, I'm not as strict, you know, with the kids, I'm a little lenient here and there and stuff like that. But even with a significant other, I want them to be at least somewhat on the same page as me. I don't expect somebody to be as I don't think I'm extreme, but people can take it as extreme, you know, when it comes to exercising and eating the right way. But you definitely have to be as close to that spectrum as possible.
You know what's sad? That's considered extreme.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? True, you're like, like, we're so used to, like, being the candies and the shits that we were talking about. Like, oh, the being raised on Burger King, talk about all that bullshit. Yeah. That was, like, the normal, that talking about being healthy and eating clean and rewarding them with, like, healthier foods. It's like, oh, this guy's crazy, dude. He's a... Like, the kids can't, they can't enjoy their fucking childhood. It's like, dude, that doesn't mean they gotta have bullshit foods.
Yeah.
But anyways, I digress.
But yeah, it's sad that they think that me just exercising almost every single day, like I enjoy to do, and eating healthy almost every single day, like extreme. I enjoy to do, is extreme. But it is what it is. But yeah, when it comes to significant other, just make sure you're as close to that as possible. I don't need you to be like me.
Yeah.
But you know. Let's be on the same page when it comes to this kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it all comes down to compatibility. Because what we had opened up with, like, oh, you know, being an asshole, whatever.
Right.
As long as you're true to yourself, and you're happy with yourself and what you do, you'll attract those kind of people around you. Right. And that's where you can kind of.
And you're setting the example too. Like, if you know your significant other, your kids, or whoever you're hanging out with is seeing you eating healthy or exercising and stuff like that, it's attractive to them, so they want to eventually end up doing that as well. Because the idea is to change their mindset and thinking that whatever they were doing before might have been normal, but now experiencing what you're putting each other through at the moment, you want them to feel like, oh damn, maybe I was doing everything wrong, and this guy, you know, seems like he's feeling good about himself and carrying himself a certain way. I want to feel the same way as well, so you know, let's do what he's doing.
I also, you have anything?
No.
I also wanted to jump into, because when we at the gym that one day we were talking, we had a very extensive conversation. Yeah. So then now you had talked earlier today about how you're going to be turning 40. You can relate to older people and people your age, but you can also relate to younger people because of you're very intentional about that. You want to stay fit, healthy, and you want to still stay involved in order to still be able to hang. Because, I mean, you're trained with all of us, and you're kind of an example for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we obviously, a lot of people look up to you because it's true. You're almost like a role model at the age that you are and how fit you are and how involved you are with your kids. Dude, I would love to be a person like you, right? So then how is it when it comes to dating where do you look for someone younger? How does the mindset then compare? Or older, because then older, it's also harder to find someone that's as serious as you are about health when they're older. Kids also, because you're a single father, you know, single mother. How do you then address that?
It's funny because I'm also at an age, and because of the way I take care of myself, that both older and younger are attracted to me at this time.
Gravitate towards you.
Right. The perfect word, gravitate towards me. So it's funny because... And typically, I guess, at this age, it doesn't normally happen, but because of me taking care of myself as good as I do, it helps. I'm sure this happens more to 30-year-olds because they're still able to maintain whatever they're doing and still messing around doing other things. But even at my age, you know, when you're thinking like 20, you know, women in their 20s is attracted to somebody that's almost 40, now you really got to sit back and think, okay, but where's their mindset at? Where are they in their life? What are the things that are going on? So it's a lot. It's a lot harder. It's got to be somebody in their late 20s that's already mature with maybe a specific job they have or, in their career and they got their set goals going on and stuff like that. But, you know, there's women in their low 20s that have, like, you know, come up to me and, attracted to me and stuff like that. And I'm like, yo, you could literally be my daughter right now. Like, literally can be my daughter right now.
Excellent. So how,
you know, so I sit back and at first I'm kind of like weirded out by it. You know, it's like,
when you think about that, it's kind of weird.
When you put it into that perspective, it's fucking weird.
But the fact that you do take care of yourself and you're almost like, you're younger, I guess, physically than I guess your age is.
Yeah.
It kind of isn't that weird.
Because you look like you. Because I was gonna ask you how young is too young.
I was gonna.
Yeah.
Now we're going into locker room talk, like cooler talk.
Yeah,
boys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How young is too young?
I don't know, because there are some 21-year-olds that fucking look old and like are mature and stuff like that. Okay, but but still, knowing their age and their number fucks with your head.
But give us a number. So, give us a hard number.
Probably like 26.
Okay.
26.
Okay. You're the lowest.
26, which is crazy because it kind of seems okay, me talking to you, you knowing who I am, my age, stuff like that. But that's a 14-year difference.
Yeah.
So think of when I was 32. Subtract 14 from 32. 18, right? Did I do the math correctly?
32 from 14.
Yeah. I think
that shit's that's weird, right? 32, 18.
Yeah.
That's a little strange.
But it's a lot. Okay, I see what you mean. 18 and 24 is a lot different because so much changes. Like as a 24, you're
already an adult. Yeah, a little bit. Taste of adult.
Well, remember I said 26.
Oh, 24, give me.
Yeah, 24, 26.
You know, even more now. You know, 26, you're no longer in your teens anymore, you know. So the age does make a difference. Yeah, 18 and 26 is not the same.
Age makes a difference. Huge. Age makes a difference. No matter what anybody says, age makes a difference. And, but it's also, I'm not going to say enjoyable, but it's, I guess, cool. And I don't know, whatever, that, you know, younger women are still kind of attracted to you in a way because of how you carry yourself and how well you take care of yourself as well. So, I mean, and then you still got like 50 and 60 year olds that are like, whatever. So, you know, it's.
You ever like seen or maybe date or maybe like an older woman that's maybe like, you know, in shape, you know, yeah, and she looks good. And they've never gone up to you and be like, hey, what's up?
I mean, there's been conversation where you can tell there's like some
chemistry, something.
But for you, you're like too old. Be honest,
too
old. Dude. What's the oldest you would date? Because remember, at the same time,
I'm getting to an.
I want to throw this at you as well, which I threw at you the other day.
To be completely honest, I haven't even put any thought into any of this because I'm at a point in my life. Right now, at this moment, where I've really been focusing on my work, aside from my kids, because my kids are always going to be in the picture no matter what. And that's a, yeah, right. That's a non-negotiable focus all day, every day. But I'm in a stage in my life where, okay, now I had to redirect what a specific focus was. And it's been more on my job and work and fuck, how can I make more money right now?
Sure,
you know what
course.
I'm saying? So,
but give us a number. Just like 50, you're 40, 50.
Well, man, nowadays, there's a lot of women taking so much better care of themselves that even at the age of 50, they look really nice.
What I wanted to say, I threw this at you that last time, is remember that you're also a father.
Right.
Would you date a single mother as well? Because
well,
if we talk about that, there's more possibility that they are.
Right. I think in my situation, I think a lot of the guys that are in my situation would probably answer the same way in saying it'd be nice to find somebody else that maybe has kids as well already.
Oh, that does have kids.
Because now you're getting into a situation where I actually have no problem having more kids in my life. I fucking love kids. If I had more money, I would have 5, 6, 8 kids.
I'm
totally into kids. But, you know, as you continue getting older, it's in the back of your mind of like, okay, if I'm going to date somebody younger and they don't have kids, you're most likely going to have kids with them. So now what's this?
Oh, because they're going to want to have children.
Of course. You know, you of course. So
you think you'll be able to, you'll have more kids in the future or are you done?
I would like to.
Yeah. So then you would have to go for somebody younger.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But
50-year-old.
Right. No. Of course. But I'm saying, it's not that difficult to get into a relationship with somebody else that has kids already as well, because you kind of relate already. You've probably gone through certain things as well. Now their kids could probably bond with your kids. It's cool. It seems like a nice little picture, Brady Bunch, this and that, whatever. You know. But But yeah, now that plays an important role, an important factor in your life. Okay, if I'm dating somebody younger and they don't have kids in their life, they're most likely going to want kids.
Sure,
so do I want to put myself in that situation to continue having kids later on? And when my kids are like 15 and 14 years old already, now I'm having a newborn, like that's a crazy ass gap, you know?
That is
between,
wild.
So Man, there's a lot of things
A lot of variables in your life.
So many variables.
Because your kid, your work, your, you know, like, it's a lot. Your business. Yeah. It's just. It's
but, lot. I, you know, I guess at the end of the day, if you find that one person that you're connecting to in this stage of your life again, and you want to pursue something further, then, you know, you got to already convince yourself of the fact that it's going to happen.
So. Yeah, and if you find someone and it feels right, you can just go with it.
Yeah, you know, just whatever. Go with the flow you and you like, allow it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm a guy. I'm not a girl that I'm not a woman that's 40 that's going to have difficulty in getting pregnant.
Sure.
I'm a guy. I can have a kid at 50, 60, 70 years old.
What is Al Pacino, now, like 90
obviously,
years old.
Obviously, do I want that? Probably not. But at least it's not something in the back of my mind where I'm like, shit. The
clock's ticking.
Yeah. There's no
which
clock.
A lot of women.
Right, right. There's no clock for a male, so.
Damn, dude. Yeah, I feel like at the end of the day, it's going to come down to finding that right person and just it'll come at you where you'll be like, you know what? Yeah. Maybe I can balance my business or maybe offset a little bit on the business. Yeah. And maybe you spread it out. You know, you got your team over there.
Yeah, yeah.
But until then, yeah, it seems like that's you're just going to continue. Man, it's you have a pool of women. It's pretty big, actually.
Yeah, a lot of women. Listen, I'm assuming you guys are in a stage in your life where it's actually like you feel like your life is almost set up exactly how you can see your future. I don't know if you want to be with your significant other.
You don't have to.
I think that's a big problem that a lot of guys don't think about, where they're just with somebody and there's no intent to continue furthering a future with them. I think that's a big issue right now. But hopefully you guys are on the right path where you are with the woman that you want to be and hopefully have kids with them as well. So you guys are set up for what seems like success, which is really good, you know?
Right.
For others, you know, it might be a little bit more difficult because they got other factors to play. You know, somebody like myself, that's a single father, a single mother, a lot more difficult to date, you know, meet somebody. So my advice to you guys is just don't fuck it up. Don't fuck up because it seems like, you know, you're going on the right path. And at the end of the day, we all want to have a household where the mom and the dad live together with the kids on a daily basis. Yeah. That would be, you know.
In a perfect world.
Right.
Well, they also say that children also, they learn not by what you tell them, but what you do, you know? So they look at you and how you raise them, but two, if you had a significant other, how you then treat her. Yeah. Your daughter, well, that's what Carly was saying. Your daughter's then going to say, like, man, look how my father's treating this woman.
Yeah.
That's the example that I should find when I start dating. Yeah. A scary moment for you, just thinking about that. But when I start dating, what a man should be treating his woman.
Right.
So I guess, like, that's also part of it as well. It's just, you just got to find the right person for you.
True. But, yeah, you know, in my situation, I'm at the gym all day.
Now, I was going to ask you, like, where would they even meet you? It has to be a member.
No, or like just social media, how it is nowadays.
Oh,
I don't do dating apps. I'm not into that. Yeah. But then I was having a discussion with somebody the other day, and I'm like, well, Instagram is basically like a dating app anyway.
That's where I met my girlfriend, Instagram.
Yeah, so you DM can't. That's it. So there's no shame in being in a dating app because most people even meet just like on Instagram itself, and that's technically a dating app in and of itself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So if you want to do the dating app thing, go for it. That's not my thing. And you know, I feel like at my age, I'm blessed with everything that's going elsewhere in my life. So it'll just come to me when it comes to me.
It'll come to you. Maybe a member is going to bring a friend. You know, hey.
Oh, yeah, look at this fine bitch.
Yeah, and you're going to be like, oh, shit.
But, I honestly really don't put much thought into it right now.
So you haven't been dating anybody recently?
No.
Focusing on you.
No. So, the grind. Yeah, because 2024, for me, is I like that how you used that word intentional earlier.
That's my word. Actually, I'm going to ask
you. It's a good word.
Keep going.
Because that's my word for 2024, being more intentional with everything that we're doing, you know? I've stayed away from social media a lot more lately. I haven't been posting, and it's tough because of the job I do, I should and I need to be posting more.
Definitely.
But the more I've gone away from it, the better I feel about myself and about things in my life. So I want to be outside of this. I want to be more intentional with certain things, whether it's relationships, with my children, with you guys, with the gym, and even intentional with like the way you eat your food or the way you put on your clothes and the way you brush your teeth, like, you know,
like be in the moment also.
Yeah,
almost. Like
be in try. The moment.
So, yeah, because fucking try. Sometimes it just feels like life is like flashing
routine.
By.
It just
it's
happens.
Just like so mundane. Yeah. So like being intentional means like appreciating what you're doing.
I know I go into tangents sometimes, but
so they all relate. So we're
So I enjoy going to like EDM festivals and stuff like that, and listening to that kind of music and being in that crowd. And as of late, I've really been like more like in tune and present with what's going on. And in the latest one that I went to, I was just like in a crowd of like 1,000 people, and I see everybody with their phones up. Ooh. And I know this is like a thing on Instagram, and people point this out as well and stuff, but you just see a crowd of thousands of people with their phones out the entire time. And it's like, damn, I don't want to do that. And I've been that person, and I've got caught up in that moment. And those are certain specific moments where, you know, I sit back and I think to myself, okay, I need to be intentional with things. Everybody's out with their phone and their camera. Why do I have to be the same exact way? Yeah. You know, to get something for 10 seconds on video to share with other
people.
It's
going to sound like shit anyway. Like,
you know? You never look at it again. I've never looked at those videos.
Never look at it again. I just thought about that. My album is full with so much shit of that. Bullshit. And I've never once gone back and looked at it. True. And yet I still save it on there because I don't know if one day I'm going to show it or share it. But,
or something.
But whatever. But yeah, so going into 2024, I want to be more intentional with things.
That's my. So I was going to ask you guys what, because one of my homegirls, she always asked me, she asked me last year, and my word for last year was quality. Mm. I wanted like what I ate was going to be quality. My relationships were going to be quality. The people around me, everything was just more quality. Just focus more on the right things and not just being like shitty with shit. This year, my word was intentional or intent. You know, I want it to be purposeful. I want things to mean something. I want to try and just like do whatever it is that I want to do and again, be purposeful. Do you guys, I don't know if that's your word. It seems like it might be. Do you have
absolutely.
Your word for 2024?
Well, give me a few minutes and I want to think about it. No, this is really good. I like that. But I do I have
listen,
a word?
Just.
What you feel.
Come along the train, bro, and be intentional as well.
It's what you feel. It's what you feel. No, but also it depends. Because maybe he has his own goals as well that your word may mean something else with what you're trying to accomplish. That's what I want to accomplish. I want to be more intentional.
I have it. I want to be more appreciative. Okay. Appreciative.
Really?
Appreciative.
Okay. And like grateful?
Grateful. Yeah, appreciative, grateful, because I feel like, you know, I'm 30. I'll be 31 in March, actually. But it's like... sometimes, and we've talked about this, I feel like there's so much things that I want to accomplish, that I want to do, I want to achieve, I want to buy a house, I want to buy my girl this fucking perfect ring, all these things. And then I realize, like, you stop appreciating what you have. Yeah. I'm healthy. I've, you know, we wish we would fucking quit our jobs, but we have a studio. A lot of people don't have that. Yeah. You know, a lot of, like, I would love the new car, but I have a car that gets me to work. Yeah. Some people don't have a car. Some people have to take the bus. Yeah. So I do want to be appreciative.
Okay, so
the family that I have.
So let me
the friends that I have.
Let me what's the word I'm looking for? Like tag along to what you're saying. Right? So I was thinking about this the other day, and I guess that perspective that you're having is you know, I should be appreciative of what I have because things could be worse.
Yeah.
You could have it worse and things could be, you know, that you have it good and things could be worse than what it is. But man, when I was thinking about this the other day, I found myself throughout even last year repeating that to myself so much that, okay, things could be worse. I should be happy with what I got going on. Things could be worse. That I was telling myself, man, I got to stop telling myself that because I think I'm becoming just average and not only average, but just complacent with the things that are going on because I'm telling myself so much that, all right, people have it worse. Things can be worse. So, and I felt like I needed to start saying instead, well, things could be better. Because we repeat to ourselves so much that, you know, I should be happy. Things could be worse. People out there have it worse. But why? If you're in a situation that things can be better. So for me, I started this year telling myself, like, instead of just being complacent with things, if something didn't go the right way that I wanted it to, and just being like, all right, I got to be happy. Things could be worse. No, things can be better. So don't be happy and don't be complacent with what's going on. Even though other people have it worse, that doesn't mean that I have to be in the same place as them or stay where I'm at. Things can be better. And that's where my mindset kind of switched at the end of this year in thinking more positively and trying to be more proactive on things and taking action on what I needed to, and telling myself, no, things can be better. So let's go and let's go get it.
I don't have the mentality of like, oh, things could be worse, which is true. But I'm also like, I'm grateful that I have this in my life today, because tomorrow is not promised. Right. Next year is not promised, you know? And like, so like, even this, what we're having right here is not promised. So I'm not saying, oh, it could be worse. I'm saying I am appreciative of what I have right now.
Right.
But obviously, I'm striving for so much more.
Right,
but I
but what I'm what I'm touching upon more is just being like, well, we end up being complacent with certain things because we do to ourselves. When something doesn't go our way, we then try and make ourselves feel better in saying, ah, but it's okay. It could be worse.
No, I get what you're
saying.
You know? I get what
you're and it's not it's not a bad thing. Right. It's not a bad thing. But I think we are starting to wire ourselves to just be like okay with stuff instead of, when something's not going your way, fuck. But things can be better. So let's go. Let's keep attacking it, not giving up on it, and striving for whatever we want to continue striving for and all the goals that we want to achieve. Because we fall back way too many times in thinking like, okay, fine. It didn't go my way. Things could be worse because, you know, somebody doesn't have a roof over their head. And yeah, that situation fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But that's not your situation.
Right. It's like a switch in your head that like what you're thinking.
It's just instead of like, oh, what can go wrong if you do it?
Right.
It's what can go right if I do?
Yes.
That's the difference. Yes. Where instead of you just saying like, oh, okay, well, you know what? You know, it could have been worse.
Yeah.
It's like, but it could have been fucking better.
But it could have been better.
So I think that's the mindset where you're right. Because it's funny that you had said that the way that you said it, because the girl who had asked me, she told me that her word last year was content instead of happy, contentment. Basically, focusing more on what you have and are grateful for and being content with what you have because you don't need more versus what you don't. Because what you don't need more of.
Yeah.
I get that, where it's being grateful and appreciative for what you do have, but still have the mindset of, okay, but I can't think, oh, okay, well, it could
so
be
her,
worse.
So yeah. Her word was content?
Last year was content instead of happy, is what she said.
Like, I'm not going to say that's a negative word, but that's a...
It doesn't sound
It's great. Basic. It's
doesn't,
average.
It doesn't sound great, you but know? I do see...
I understand where she's probably coming from, you know, to be grateful and appreciative and, you know, but man, like, it's not...
What I think for her was this. It's probably that she was never happy with what she was accomplishing, right? And it could be that you are accomplishing a lot, but you don't give yourself the credit. So then you're always thinking, man, I could have done more, instead of saying like, damn, but I also accomplished so much. So you're always looking forward, right? Like, damn, that's I know I still got the bridge. You know what? Let me take a second and say, yo, look at all that I've done.
I got to
be happy with myself with what I've done because
okay.
a year ago I didn't.
Yeah.
And I think that was the mindset, which I think is more that's what you're saying.
Exactly. It's like,
and you're proud of what you've done.
Right.
And I like that you brought that up because that's how I was for a while. Because, you know, I want the gym to be better. You know, I'm disappointed with certain things, but then if I look back, it's like, damn, I did a lot. And that was cool to feel that way, but fuck that phase. Like, yo, let's go. We gotta go. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
We gotta go.
Every now and then it's nice to then just be what? Let me
ruffle my feathers
a little bit, because you should be proud of what you do. Because if you're never proud, it's almost like, what are you doing this for?
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
That's the thing. You have to like sometimes slow down, and it goes back to what you guys are being intentional. Slow down and appreciate what you have right now. And it's like, people are so wrapped up with like, oh, I gotta accomplish this. Then you accomplish that. Then I gotta accomplish this. Then you gotta accomplish that. Then you do accomplish this. But like, where do you find happiness?
Yeah.
And so if you always have to chase happiness, is it really like, what is it really worth it? Is it really, you know, like, so I think that's what it meant. Or that's the direction that this person was going into.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
Why are rich people miserable and unhappy? They have everything, but they still want more. Yeah. And so I think that kind of goes.
And don't get me wrong, I think you guys are in the same situation as myself, where I think, you know, we're happy with our lives. But fuck it.
There's so much more.
We could be happier.
Let's get happier. So let's go. You know?
All right. So I want to start wrapping up the episode. And before we do so, for the audience, so we have not only do we have a book, if you could probably see it over Andre's shoulder, Starting From Within, but we also have our game called The Basics. So essentially what The Basics was, it's a set of questions that you would want to ask maybe someone that you just started dating, or even if you've been dating someone for a while. In fact, we've done this with our friends here. There's some questions that are obviously related, you know, to relationships, but there are a lot of questions just that are more introspective and you wanting to know a little bit more and kind of dig a little bit deeper. So instead of you asking the regular questions of, hey, what's your favorite number? What's your favorite color? Bullshit. It's questions that you really should know if you've been dating someone for a while. Yeah. If not, if you started dating someone, these are questions you should definitely ask to make sure that you're with the right person in the long run. So I pulled a couple of questions here that I think are very, very good based on what we've been talking about today. They're very safe. It's not going to be any bullshit questions. Yeah. But if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a couple just to kind of show the impact that these questions could have in these conversations. All righty. So I'm going to start with number one, which I think is going to be, you know,
these are all questions for me, or he's involved as well?
I'm going to ask you. Yeah, because we've done this already. Okay, so we've always asked. Okay, so we like to ask the audience just to kind of sign everything off, right? So I'm going to ask you three questions, very simple questions. Question number one is going to be, what's the accomplishment you are most proud of?
Oh, that's an easy one. Being a father right now. Yeah, that's an easy one. I'm sure you wanted like this cool.
Not at all. I thought I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah, being a father.
I mean, I'm hoping that would be the answer.
I mean, we'll repeat the question one more time.
What's the accomplishment you are most proud of? And it, yeah, but that's a good one.
I'm trying to think maybe like a crazy random answer also that you would
better than being a father. Fuck the kids.
No. That's the top answer. But accomplishment that I've ever had. Now I'll go back to that one if I think that
I want to give you kudos to that, because you are a father that people should strive to be, because you're very involved. I appreciate that. Thank you. When I see you post your kids on your story, what you're doing, you're there like exercising around when you're running and they're like either practicing or they're with you. It's like, damn, dude, like that's how I would want to be. So, man, that's a good accomplishment. In fact, I give you, again, kudos for that as well. The second one is then going to be very easy for you then, because it's, what are some core values you would want to teach your children? So what are the core values that you feel like, hey, as I raise you and you're learning, this is what I need you to live by?
I mean, you know, hard work, discipline. I'm saying all the boring stuff, but I just want them to have a good heart. And I see myself in my son a lot. And my mom tells everybody all the time that he's a very sweet, kind boy. He looks out for his friends at school. He shares his stuff with everybody. And that's how I used to be when I was younger. And unfortunately, like in my 20s, I had an experience at one of my jobs where something just flipped the switch and I changed from that person to now a little bit reserved. I don't really trust people as much as I would like. At times I was a little bit more aggressive and stuff like that. And I hope, which probably be damn near impossible, but I hope my son doesn't have that same experience where they had a bad experience with somebody else that kind of flips the switch on them changing maybe the way they are with certain people. So I hope he, you know, both my kids, obviously, but I hope they have like a kind heart throughout this entire, you know, life that they go through as well. Because something, you know, things can happen in certain people's lives that can traumatize them or change their view on certain things. And, you know, this experience that I had at work, you know, just really changed the type of person I was. And I feel like, you know, as I've grown, I've gotten back to how I used to be back in the day and stuff like that. But it's been a little bit of a process simply because, man, when you get screwed over and you have this, you know, relationship with somebody where you trust them and you have a lot of hope behind it, where you see growth within, you know, whatever foundation or community you're in, and it doesn't go the way as planned, especially when you put so much time and effort into it, it can really flip a switch in you and change the type of person that you are, you know? And I hope, you know, something like that doesn't happen to him, which it might, but, you know, I went through that experience so I can share it with him as he's growing up and stuff like that. But having a kind heart throughout this entire, you know, life that we're going through is I think the biggest core value I would like for them or anybody else to have, you know?
I mean, I think that's going to be an easy transition for you to have with your kids. As long as you provide that awareness for them.
Yeah.
But it's like you're so involved with them and you have that cool relationship where you can talk to them that I feel like it's going to be an easy. So, which ties into everything of how important it is of what you do on a daily basis to have that.
Yeah.
Last question. and then we're going to wrap it up.
Right? Let's do it.
If you had to change one thing about yourself, what would you pick?
If I had to change one thing about myself, what would I pick? Not have... So when having a problem or an issue with somebody, not keeping such a grudge.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm not vengeful. I'm not into revenge or anything like that. But man, if you fuck me over or you do something wrong where I'm like, man, I would have never done that to you, I can keep a grudge for a while.
Damn.
Kind of like that.
I can keep a grudge.
I hold my receipts.
Yeah.
I hold my receipts.
And you can hold your receipts, but I think maybe you're in the same, you know, level that I'm at. I hold my receipts for like a reason. Because when I get to fucking pull it out, I'm putting it on you.
It feels so good, yeah. Dude. It feels so good.
And I don't and that's probably not like the best, you know, trait or you know,
quality.
You could probably handle things differently.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'll admit it, but I don't give a fuck. I'm coming after you.
Yeah, I think.
And when I get to expose you or whatever, I'm gonna fucking do it. I'm gonna fucking do it.
Yeah, you know what I do is I like to be fair. I want things to be fair. So don't do something to me that you wouldn't want done to yourself. Right. So if you do something to me, best believe if you want to be cool, happy, like it never happened. If something happens in the future, I'm gonna throw that shit back at you and be like, remember this bullshit?
Yeah.
Don't try me again.
Yeah, like I have like a handful of things in my back pocket that I'm just waiting for the moment to happen because I know it's gonna fucking happen at some point where I'm pulling that shit out and I'm going ham. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure that's a fucking terrible quality to have, you know?
I mean, holding on to shit like that, maybe not the best, but yeah, everybody has their imperfections.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At least you're aware of him.
No, I'm totally aware of it. I'm totally aware of
it. He loves it, though. He's like,
oh, fuck you.
But yeah, you know, that's probably something that'd be nice if I didn't have, but it's okay.
Hey, but you're aware, like you said.
Awareness is the first step. Yeah. You got to put in action.
Well, with that being said, it's time to wrap up, correct?
Time to break up.
So with that being said, well, Andre, I mean, it's always a pleasure to bring you on, dude. You literally can talk for fucking hours if you wanted to. I have to go run to an appointment now, so we're actually ending up.
I appreciate you guys having me on. One, because obviously we have a great relationship. Two, it's somewhat of like a therapy session as well.
Yeah,
I like that. A little, you know?
Yeah, it's nice to just talk and be amongst people you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
Which is what I think, you know, tied to what we were speaking about earlier, where I may seem like an intimidating person, but the way I am in this situation with you guys, I hope people can just come up to me and speak the same way with me as freely as possible without... you know, them thinking I'm going to judge them or anything like that. Because I've been through my shit throughout my entire life and I've done good and I've done bad and, you know, I've learned from my mistakes and, you know, like I said, I'm gonna be 40 years old soon so I can share a lot of experience with everybody, wisdom. You know? Yeah, so.
Yeah, as long as you're not Lucas, because if you're Lucas, you're going to get fucking...
railed.
Nah, Lucas is cool people. We all love Lucas.
Yeah. Lucas is... So, thank you for having me on, guys.
Of course, dude. And so then right before we finish off, any final thoughts in the sense of maybe a message you... Even though we talked about so many, like...
So many messages.
But if there's that one thing that you want to share with the world, is something that you really live by, that at least for this year, that you want to kind of share with everyone?
No, what we were speaking about earlier, just like being intentional with things, you know... in each and every detail of what you're doing, you know, like I said earlier, the way you eat, you know, what you're feeding yourself, just having a simple conversation with somebody and looking them in their eyes and allowing them to really feel what you're speaking to them about and being more present with things and just enjoying life as much as we have so far. But I will tell the viewers, whoever's listening, improve your nutrition. The food that you put into your body is going to change the way you see life, without a doubt.
For sure. And if you're looking for a new gym, check out Zoom Fitness in Doral. You know, drop our names.
Which we do want to say thank you because you were able to help us with the giveaway. We were able to help out some people to try for, you know, 1 month free. Try, you know, start the year. Try to, you know, get them active. Yeah. Try to, you know, change, you know, whatever habits that they were doing in order to start a healthier life, especially for 2024. So we do want to thank you for helping us with that. And yeah, to your point, yeah, Zoom is a great gym. We fucking love it. This guy doesn't fucking leave that place. Neither do I. I live all the way in the beach and I still find my way all the way to Doral to make sure that I get a lift. All right, Andre, again, man, thank you so much, dude.
Thank you, guys.
Always a pleasure. Appreciate with that being said.
See you guys. Ciao.
Peace.